football on off the ball.
So how does he manage the training? How does he manage two games a week so the players aren't permanently shattered, so they don't suffer constant injuries?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Hello, you are very welcome to the LOI Pod on Off the Ball, and thank you as ever for listening to the podcast. Much to discuss as we head back into another weekend of league action in the SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division. Drogheda United take on St Patrick's Athletic at Sullivan and Lamb Park. Galway United travel to take on Dundalk. Sligo Rovers entertain Waterford, two sides who will be getting to know each other very well over the next couple of weeks. And the feature match on Off the Ball this Friday night comes live from Dalymount Park. Bohemians host Derry City, and Ben Symes will be on the mic alongside Vinnie Perth for that match, which kicks off at 7:45 on Friday night. Tune into Off the Ball on News Talk or on the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock to have a listen to that one. And even better news, we will have LOI Late Night back on the airwaves. Well, at least the social media airwaves. That one will be back on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Just look for the Off the Ball page. And I know that Shane Keegan will be hosting. I'm not too sure who's going to be alongside him. But at last, because we've got a few fixtures on a Friday night, which we haven't had for a long time. So LOI Late Night back this Friday night from 10 o'clock after all the games have finished. And you can have your say on your club, whether it be in the Premier Division or the First Division. Things certainly hotting up, I should say, in the second flight. Gareth McLean, Vinnie Perth, great to have you both along as ever. Your Virgin Media colleague, Tommy Martin, I would say, is quaking in his boots after watching the hosting chair last week, Vinnie.
100%.
I tell you
the
what.
New Gary Lineker. Oh. The new Gary Lineker. Oh,
well, I tell Steve-o, you something. You're as safe as houses, Steve-o. Safe as houses.
I thought Vinnie did a great job. You were very natural in the hosting chair.
I was so good. Yeah. I was so good last week.
Well, unfortunately, I do it for a lot cheaper than you do, Vinnie. So that means that I'll be in the hosting chair for a long time yet. On the LOI Pod, can I just ask you actually, Vinnie, how did the pressure of hosting the LOI Pod, how did that compare to managing Dundalk through a league winning season?
I had to put up with this shy from Gareth and on here, so it's very similar.
Lads, I was going to, well, there was one thing I was going to mention, I'll come to it in a moment, but like, What a mad world. I remember, Vinny, when Bohemians were playing Dundalk earlier in the season, me and you were commentating up at Dalymount Park, and there was a moment in the game and Keith Buckley made a big tackle on one of his old Bo's colleagues. I can't remember who it was now, but you just like were, football, I just love, don't you bloody well just love football. What a game. We have the potential move of a man from Sheriffer to Real Betis in Seville. He's got to be managed by one of the great managers playing in the Champions League. We could have a lad from Betty's Town and Mead, formerly of Bohemians, could be rocking up at Genoa in Serie A. Like, what a game. What a sport. Incredible. Troy Parrott to Real Betis. We could have your old pal, Evan Ferguson, playing at Genoa. And, like, it's always great as well, I think, to see a lad who broke through in the League of Ireland as a youngster and then keep progressing in their career. We had Jack Moylan getting a lot of plaudits after his performance for his new club, Cardiff City, in the English Championship on Monday night against Wrexham. I watched that game myself. I thought he was really impressive. I think he's going to have a good season with the Bluebirds. And you're thinking then, watching all of these guys doing so well in their careers, where is the next young talent coming from in the League of Ireland? And Vinnie Perth, I put it to you, the next one is a St Patrick's Athletic midfielder like Moylan. I think he's going to get capped by Ireland, say, in the next 4 to 5 years, senior level. Ryan Sheridan, discuss.
100%. I think people around the academy levels have been talking to me about this kid for a couple of years. I think he's a little bit of growing up to do in terms of physically, but I think Pat's have unearthed a really special talent. And look, there's a lot of good work going on at our academies. We know that Pats are certainly helping the first team. And say what you want about Sheridan, say what you want about quality of Pat. Say what you want about their performances over the last couple of weeks. He has been the go-to for the manager off the bench. Someone so young, that's huge. And particularly, it's not that Pat's were under pressure, particularly when the money was on the table on Sunday, for example. He turned and he called the young lad on and said, go win the game for me. Go get us out of this. If they'd have lost, I mean, what he playing for in many ways would have been some of the train of thought this week. It's now switched, potentially. And I think Sheridan was the catalyst for that. I know Rooney took his goal brilliantly, and I think he has a bit to go and a lot to learn. But if he gets first-team football, and he might struggle to get it with the quality that's ahead of him over the next sort of 6 months. But young Sheridan looks a hell of a good player. He just glides across the top of the pitch. He has a bit of everything. As I said, when you look at what Robert did with Victor last year, he sent him effectively away and he came back a man at the start of this season. I think if Pats have it, some way of doing that with Sheridan, the world is his oyster. He's young, so I know what you mean about him playing for him. I think he will play for him if he continues to do what he does. He's young, don't want to put too much pressure on him, but I don't see to be there's no ceiling for this kid if he reaches all of his potential.
Yeah, Gareth, there was two things that impressed me most about him. I'm not sure how much he would have. Look, I'll put it this way. He obviously is an excellent passer of the ball, but it wasn't the passing. It was the passes that he was picking out. It's that kind of game intelligence. He was picking out passes that a lot of midfielders, even I think Chris Forrester, his teammate, mightn't have even picked out. Just his vision was really, really good. But as well as that, when the game was in the fire, when Pats were under pressure to get through that round against Shamrock Rovers, by their league position, they are the best team in the country and obviously they're the league champions. When the game was in the fire, it was almost like he lifted the performances of the players around him as well.
Yeah, 100%. And you talk there about decisions. I mean, that's what separates, and Vinny will know more about this because he's a manager, but when I was playing, that's what separates football players is their ability to make the right decision and being able to make the right decision at the right times. And he looks as if he had it. Listen, we don't want to put too much pressure on this boy. He's obviously only doing his best to break through. Pats have obviously got a lot of injuries. Palmer, Levy, Power, Mata. So there's going to be more opportunity for him. And as Vinny said, when Stephen Kenny goes to the bench and when he goes to the academies, the teams that he's been at, he always has that eye to be able to pick out a player. But not only just pick out a player, but pick out a player, give him the confidence in training and build him up slowly or build him up fast, whatever way he thinks the player can manage, and then put them under the fireline when he most needs them. He's brilliant at it. And listen, if Sheridan's watching all those players that we just talked about, Forrester, Levy, Palmer, he's obviously learning and he's learning pretty quickly. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him. But one player, and we had this out in WhatsApp, one player that I think can really challenge him is Sean Murr. He is someone that I think is as good a level, if not a wee bit better than Sheridan right now. And I think the reason I say that, similar to Sheridan, that he's got all the injuries, he's going to have to play more. But Sean Murr is completely different to what Shelburne have right now. They've got a lot of nice players that like playing sideways and back the ways and keeping the possession. He's got the legs and the ability to break lines with the ball and without the ball. So I thought he was exceptional in that game too. And that's the beauty about the league. The game was just okay, but those two young players lit up the game. That's why it was a brilliant game to watch.
Yeah. Finny, just before we leave the point, and again, look, it's... As the host, it's my I'm allowed to get carried away with these things. You guys are here to maybe temper it a little bit. But just on Sheridan, maybe just the wider point of Stephen Kenny bringing through young players, like you would have seen him working with young players closely. What is it about it that's, and Gareth's touched on it a bit there, that Kenny, how does he handle a young player, a young talent like that?
I think first and foremost, when Stephen's at his very best, his team are playing free-flowing, attacking football, all of them stuff. And he's not against people taking chances in the final third. So that gives you a little bit of freedom to try certain things. We've seen that with Levy, for argument's sake, some of the dribbles he goes on. I think Gareth will tell you, probably more than me, I played under him, Gareth played under him, but he has a special talent of making you feel 10 foot tall in the right environment. And it's almost like I can hear him now going, they're here for you. They paid in to watch you. They're here to see you. And Gareth's smiling there because it is that type of language he will use around the kid and in a team talk. He just come out buzzing and ready to go. And for our listeners, that sounds like simple language to use. Do that in front of 24 teammates in the middle of a team talk, just focusing on a young player like that, talking about how he's going to trill and get people off the seats and people want to see it. And you know, all of them things. And that's the little bit of sprinkler magic dust he has with young players or players in general. I've seen him do that with young players and fellas in their 30s. And so he's in a good environment, but also not to take that away from Stephen. And Stephen ultimately picks the team and he took him off the bench ahead of, as we said, some experienced players. But remember, he's got to that stage because of a lot of good work going on at Pat's Academy and a lot of our academies. But Pat's in particular recently have been developing a hell of a lot of good young players.
Yeah, that's something I was going to mention as well, because Pat's academy has been doing Trojan work and there's so many great coaches that would have brought Ryan along the road. So listen, best of luck to him, and it certainly will be exciting to watch his career progress over the next few years. That, of course, was in the FAI Cup, Pat's winning that match against Shamrock Rovers. A really exciting match in Inchicore. It looked great on TV, it must be said. We got the quarterfinal draw then yesterday, lads. Waterford will host Sligo Rovers. Galway United making the trip to Drogheda United. Derry City will entertain Dundalk, while St. Patrick's Athletic will host Bohemians in what certainly is the pick of the ties. The two clubs, of course, met in the finals in 2021 and 2023. Can't remember what happened. I have wiped those matches from my memory for some reason. What's the reaction like up on Foyle's side, Gareth, to that draw? Dundalk against Derry City at home?
Well, considering, Steve-O, that St. Pat's, Bowes, Dundalk and Derry were the last four remaining teams in the pot, Derry will be absolutely buzzing. Home draw, and no disrespect to Dundalk, but they would have preferred to play Dundalk at home rather than Pat's or Bowes. So pleasantly surprised. Listen, in the cup draw, you always want to be drawn at home. That gives you a real chance. Away in the cup can be tough. There was some tough draws there. They'll be pleasantly pleased. And again, it looks as if that's going to be their main route to Europe this season, barring an almighty charge come the end of the season. So they'll be pleasantly pleased. And by the time that comes round, I think Mark Connolly will have more of a fist of what's his best team and who you can rely on.
Yeah, and Gareth, Drogs against Galway. It was almost like they were made for each other, isn't it, for this draw? Because, there's been a lot of tight games between these two. Even look at this season in the league. Galway losing at home to Drogheda United by 1-0 in the first meeting. Galway winning away to Drogheda 3-2 in the second meeting. And then the last game, a nil-all draw between the sides on the 7th of August. And was that the one? Yeah, David Hurley missed the penalty in the second half in that match. So I'm not calling that one, are you?
No, and I think Drogheda's experience in the FAI Cup will shade this. And I think Galway, in the position they're in, and Drogheda as well, like Galway would give up this FAI Cup run just to get away from that relegation playoff position. So I think if Drogheda can kind of bring some of that experience they've had in the FAI Cup, get a win there, it will boost them. And actually, if either team won the other team, it will have a knock-on effect to the league. So confidence and momentum is huge at this stage of the season. And even cup games can give you that almighty boost. And I think we're going to see it similar to the drama that went on up at Inchicore. I think Pats will kick on now as well. So both teams will be hoping for a win to be able to get the rest of the season going.
Yeah. The other tie is Vinnie Bowes away to St. Pat's. Looking at their meetings this season, you know, Bohemians in the last game getting a 2-0 win. They had a man sent off in that match at Daly Mount Park. Before that was a 3-1 win for Pats in April, and then in Daly Mount at the start of the season, that was the Aviva Stadium match, a scoreless draw. Like, I suppose Inchicore gives Pats the edge. Do you think Bowes go there with any fear against the Saints?
No, I think it's obviously a tough draw for Bolton. It's on paper the tough draw, I would say, that Bolton could have got. But Bolton, in one way, will fancy it, if that makes sense. I think Bolton are the type of team that can beat anybody on the day. At times, they're exceptional. That's, I suppose, the advantage is they're at home. You have to take huge confidence at what they did to Shamrock Rovers the other day and the manner in which they done it in terms of being 2-0 down. So I think that's very much a 50-50 call. If it was 51% to anybody, it'd be Pats because they're home. But I think that's a tough one. Well, Bulls have so many match winners that what you find with match winners is the more of them you have in the team, the more chance you have them win the cup, because the likes of Devoy, the likes of Tierney, these people can turn it on. They've obviously brought Paddy Madden in as well. Interesting to see how he gets on. They feel they need a striker. So wouldn't shock me if Bulls won, but there's nothing in between them two teams. Two very talented sides that on the day can win a cup, absolutely. But on the day, probably go out to anybody as well that's left. Mm-hmm. So, the Bolton in where they need to be. And I suppose if Pats are going to win it, they're going to do it the hard way, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think set pieces might be a big one on that day as well. Like, it was interesting watching some of the crosses and set pieces at Edgecore on Sunday. And then Vinnie Waterford against Sligo Rovers. Look, I don't know at this stage of the competition, like, Sligo Rovers in real trouble in the league. I'm not saying that Darren Purse is going to put out a moody team, but they've got more important things to worry about as regards surviving in the Premier Division. Does that give Waterford a bit of an edge, do you think, in this game? And especially Waterford's form?
Yeah, I just think Sligo need a win. And sometimes, I've been in relegation scraps as a player, sometimes you need a win, and if it happens to be the Cup, grand. But they just need a win. I don't think you can afford to take a risk of leaving people out and resting. So they're not anywhere near that position. And like we said when he was appointed, I was concerned about that appointment. He's still finding out about his players, and it's just an opportunity to do that. So for Sligo, they need anything they can hold on to. And a cup run for the provincial towns are so important to them that they need to win that game. And has to go all out to win it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Sligo Rovers, or sorry, just on that wall for Sligo Rovers game, like, I just have a feeling the form that Waterford are in, the way they've shown that they know how to win games now, and they've taken on all sorts of styles in the league, I have a funny feeling they could have a really good run and go to the final at this stage now. Gareth, who's kind of standing out to you there? Who would you predict now as a winner from that eight?
Well, I think you're right. I think Waterford, no matter, listen, obviously they haven't beat Sligo yet, but should they go on to beat Sligo, they're going to be a tough, tough opposition, home or away, for anyone. When you've got that confidence and you've got the mojo and you've got the manager and the players and that sort of happy place where they know the performance levels that they're going to come, kind of like where Dundalk were at the beginning of the year, like, they're really dangerous. You look at Derry and Dundalk, I mean, as Vinny said, that's probably 50-50 as well. Just Derry, the home performance. And then the winner of St Pat's and Bowes. But don't rule out the winner of Drogheda and Galway. I think that the likes of Drogheda, the likes of Galway, will be a tough game for anyone. If they were to get a home draw in the semi-final, nobody will want to go away to Drogheda or away to Galway in the semi-final of Cup, because we know the semi-final of Cup is a tough game. You do not, whatever about getting beaten the final, getting beaten the semi-final is a kick in the stones. So there's going to be a strong, obviously they're the top eight. It's been a while since, the top teams. It's been a while since we know first division teams in at this stage. No matter what the draw, everyone, and especially the two home draws in the semi-final, will fancy their chances.
1985.
Do you know what, David Wilson? Before we move on.
Sorry, Vinny. David Wilson, our producer, just mentioned to me 1985 is the last time we didn't have a first division team in the in the last eight. So there you go.
Yeah. Sorry, before we move on from the cup, you're the presenter this week. Sorry, you might be, just in case. Just want to check. Two special things I want to mention, Steve, always the Longford Town crowd that turned up for the Balls game.
Ah, amazing. It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. They packed out the mono stands. Absolutely brilliant to see. And look, I don't think Longford Town were a match for Bohemians. And in fact, I think Bohemians should have won by more, to be honest with you. I think they left a lot of chances behind. And maybe that's to do with the Thursday night, Sunday game, something Bows are trying to get into the rhythm of. But you have to credit the Longford Town support. And they stayed right till the end.
Yeah, yeah, and that shows you the provincial towns. It's weird. It's like I was chatting about this morning with the lads in OTB. The provincial towns, it's a bit like the guy, isn't it? They love cup competitions, you know. They really do. And I was lucky enough to win a cup tie with Longford back in the day. It is an amazing thing to do, like really is. It's a bit different than the Dublin clubs. I'm not taking that in a way, like Bowes, Pats were to win a cup. It'd be a great occasion, bigger crowds. But the open top bus back through, Sligo have to win the cup, but Derry have to win the cup, Dundalk or Longford that have experience. It's just so mental. It's just so hard. The thousands that flood the street. Remember, Longford are getting 300-400 people at games. And so many people went and enjoyed the occasion in Derry, man. I think people deserve a special mention.
I have to say as well, Steve, you'll enjoy this. I think Bowes deserve massive credit as well. The mono stand is a great viewing point for the match. It's, you're nice and safe. You're over there in the corner. It's all yourself. The security's there. You're right beside the pitch. It's almost very similar to the away fans in Drogheda. They're down at that side of the pitch, close to the sideline, close to the net. It's a great vantage point. It would have been easy for Bowes to say, you know what, we're moving anyway. Let's just leave it the way it is, or let's put a haphazard kind of stand on there. Instead, they went and did it properly. So full credit to Bowes as well, because it's a great stand.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic. I think it's going up to Oscar Traynor once the redevelopment work starts. So it's good to see the mono stand, of course.
Sorry, Steve, 0.2 on the cup. I never got to 0.2.
Sorry, come on.
The host, Gareth, he's letting us down here. So 0.2 is, again, I've already told this story, but I think it's important that I tell it for LOI fans. I have a niece who, massive football fan, played with P-Mount, you know, all that stuff, 13, 14 years of age. And she, because of my connection with Dundalk, when she got really passionate about football, big Liverpool fan, all that stuff, goes to a huge amount of games, she didn't do what her classmates done, and she went and followed Pats, didn't want to follow Rovers because of, there's a bit of parrot in her, let's just say, right? So, but she was at Inchicore, and she goes to Inchicore at different stages, not huge, but she was at the game on Sunday, and she came out, and her first reaction was to her mother, I want a season ticket if I can get one for this ground. So there's 2 points in that. One is the FAI Cup is alive and well. It still produces a little bit. We want to win it. Keeping it as part of European football and not letting league clubs get their hands on it is huge. The top eight teams, with the exception of Rovers, are still in it. And second of all, do not take people, I've said this so many times, do not take people for granted. Put a product on the pitch. You understand managers have to play certain ways at different days. Put a product on the pitch and you get the kids in. And you get them forever if you do it right. That game on Sunday, live on television, and what the two managers produced, to be fair, Rovers weren't good because of the touristy night, etc. What the occasion of it was is how we build our game. It's how we get more people, bums on seats. And it was a brilliant, brilliant advertisement for League of Ireland football.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, RT did a great job, as Virgin Media have been doing all season, every Friday night, putting out some great matches there on the airwaves. And we will, of course, have FAI Cup matches on the airwaves on Off the Ball. I think we're due to do the Women's FAI Cup final, and we will pick up some semi-final and final matches in the men's competition as well. So all that to look forward to. Just on that, qualification for Europe from the FAI Cup means you go into the Europa League. I want to start this debate between you two. Maybe we won't spend too long on it, but my argument is, Gareth, that if you finish second in the league, you've worked arguably a lot harder to get that second position in the league table, so therefore should get the Europa League place rather than that Europa League place going to the FAI Cup winner.
Yeah, I can see your reasoning for it, but the magic of the cup can't be understated. Honest to God, I mean, it just adds so much more to it, the FAI Cup, when you're talking about Europa League than Conference League position. So I would hate to lose that. Don't get me wrong, any sort of European competition, if a player is lucky to get to the Aviva, get their hands on the cup, to then be rewarded the next season with European football, it's fairy tale stuff. And you've got to give, I always think, you've got to give the first division teams the ability to dream that they could go and win the FA Cup and play in the Europa League. So I'm all for it. But this is a bigger conversation, and Vinny touched on it there now, is they've got to bring the League Cup back, and they've got to make it a worthwhile competition when they do bring it back, because our academies are not being able to play the young players in senior games because of what's on the line. And the FA Cup, having that Europa League place, would make managers turn around and go, I can't afford to play young players in this game. I'm in the quarter final of the FA Cup, two more games and I'm in the final. We need a platform to play men's football, and the League Cup hasn't come back. But no, Steve-O, I'm all for the Europa League place to be in the FAI Cup winners.
Yeah, and like I do take that point, and I'd say give the FAI Cup winner Conference League place. And my thinking behind this, Vinny, is that you could have a team, say, from the First Division, let's say, or from the bottom half of the Premier Division, winning the Cup and getting that Europa League place. And they may not have the quality of squad that the second placed team in the Premier Division has. And therefore, putting the second place team from the Premier Division into the Europa League gives the Irish clubs a better chance of progressing in the Europa League and therefore helping the coefficient.
It's a point well made. It's definitely a discussion point. We want our best representation of a league in Europe as best we can. So I suppose you're right. I think if the rule was to change next year, that second in the league gets the Europa League spot and the FAI Cup goes into the conference, I think it'd be hard find a big argument for that. The only thing is, it's the Turkey's bottom for Christmas. So while a couple of top clubs might agree with it, I think ultimately the league, you know, it's decided by the league teams, and most of them probably won't, because if they had more chance to win a cup than finish in second. So therefore, it's probably unlikely to change, but it does make a huge amount of sense. So I would personally like to see it changed, but I don't want to devalue the FAI Cup. It's still really special. The thing about the League Cup, before we move on from this, Gareth, is I don't want that to come back, because the longer it's not taking place, I'm still the last manager to win it. So I still own that competence.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like you to be selfish, Vinny, no?
This is for, I joke, of course, because I think it's really important it comes back. Yeah. Really important it comes back. League Cup, and even change the rule that at least 6 year under 20s have to start again, no matter what, they have to start, because it's a great opportunity to put people say, oh, we're playing too many games. Well, boo-hoo, the teams in Europe don't have to play in the first two rounds of it if you want. I don't care, but have that competition, an opportunity, a little bit less pressure on managers to win games, and it's a chance to blood players. It makes perfect sense.
Here, Gareth, next thing he's going to be saying, we should call it the Vinnie Perth Cup.
Bring the League Cup back. And they'll deliver the trophy down to the FAI if you want.
Right, well, lads, what I wanted to discuss with you next, of course, is the relegation playoff place. We're going to have a lot of title talk over the next few weeks. And some people would say there isn't a title race, but we shall see over the next few weeks how that goes. But I wanted to discuss the relegation playoff place, because if you look from Shelburne down at the next two fixtures for all of those clubs, there's some massive games in those next two fixtures, with nine fixtures in total for those clubs to go. So I just want to get your quick thoughts on how these could fare. So if you look at Shelburne, and look, Shelburne fans, I'm sorry to include you in this. I know you're probably thinking, listen, we got to be looking up at the table. But Shelburne currently in the table on 34 points. They're a total of 10 off the top three, and they are only 6 points off Waterford in ninth position. Very good chance they get away from it. But looking at their next two fixtures, Vinny, Shelburne are away to Galway United and at home to Drogheda United. Is there a danger for them to get sucked into this? How do you see those two games for Shelburne coming up?
I think that Shelburne are sucked into it. I think they have to be really concerned. The challenge we have is, I can look awfully stupid in 2 weeks' time and they win the next couple of games and they're chasing a European spot or fourth. But the current form they're in, they're not in better form than anybody below it, with the exception of Sligo, I would say. So therefore, they need to pick up a couple of victories very, very quickly. And just like the Ajax performance, the second one, was brilliant. And it has to fill them with a bit of confidence, and I hope it does. But that aside, in the league hasn't been good enough, conceding soft goals. I think I've seen somewhere, I think John must have been charged in 9 games, drawn one, lost, or won one and lost the rest. I mean, they've really struggled, but they need a couple of wins and quickly, because I think they're more likely to be in the relegation playoff position than Europe on current form. And as I said, I could be wrong in 2 weeks' time and look like a bit of a fool, but I can only say what I can see at the moment. And they're more likely to be worried about relegation than anything else.
Yeah, it's just one win in the last 6 league matches for Shelbourne. The last league win was against Dundalk. That was the 3rd of July. Look, I know they've had European games since then, but they've lost to Waterford, lost to St. Pat's. So, like, there's a massive job there for John Russell to turn that around. Derry City, on the other hand, then, Gareth, like, they are, based on form over the last 5 matches, on 8 points, they're mid-table based on the last 10 games, again 5th place mid-table, and I know they've had a bit of an uptick under Mark Connolly, but 2 very tough matches coming up for them. They're away to Bohemians, as I mentioned, on Friday night, that's on Off the Ball, and then at home to Shamrock Rovers before going to Waterford. But look, just those 2 games, the 2 big Dublin rivals, they're massive games now for Derry City.
Huge, huge. Very different to the 2 games that Mark Connolly has managed so far in Sligo and UCD. There's no doubt about it. There was a bounce. There was always going to be a bounce. The dressing room wasn't comfortable with Tiernan in charge. That changed. They've got Mark in charge, who they are comfortable with. A lot of the players like him. There was signs of real progress in just the short, the 2 games, UCD and Sligo. Also signs of worry. At 1-1 UCD game, UCD were very, very good. They hit the woodwork a couple of times. They looked like the more aggressive team, looked like they were going to go on and score. Derry pinned it back and scored a very good second goal. But the thing, it's going to take time as well. Like, you can't just go on and just change it automatically. There's got to be small changes, subtle changes, and I can see that already. He's got the 2 wingers, Burns and Duffy, coming inside far more. The 2 fullbacks are bombing on. He's much more aggressive in his lineups and much more aggressive in the midfield 4 as well. There's usually, you see, it's 4 and 2 sitters. Mark seems to be pushing a lot of the players forward. That's going to obviously create more chances from open play, which it has done the last 2 games, because Derry from open play under Tiernan was abysmal. They weren't creating chances at all, but it's also going to leave the back door open. So against Bowes and Shamrock Rovers, you can't leave the back door open very much. I mean, there are 2 teams with loads, bucket loads of quality. So 2 big games for Mark and Derry City. But I would echo Vinny, a couple of bad results, 2-3 bad results. And if you look at the likes of Galway, Waterford, Sligo and Drogs, they've got teams in and around them. So if Derry were to go for a bit, lose both those games, and the other teams were to pick up, or 2 of the other teams were to pick up, then it becomes a real struggle.
Yeah, Galway are away to Dundalk this weekend, and then they host Shelbourne, which is an interesting match. We've mentioned it already in Shell's run of fixtures, but it's John Russell against John Caulfield. And in their 3 previous meetings this season, Caulfield's had the upper hand. He's won all 3 for Galway United against Sligo Rovers, Vinny. And Dundalk, oh, I suppose they're going through a bit of a, just a, you know, they're trying to get over the moves of Aruby and Owen Kenny. There's been good signs maybe over the last couple of weeks from Kieran Kilduff's team, but I still think Caulfield might be going to Dundalk thinking, I can get something from this game, maybe get a win against Shelbourne then the following week, and their season could be looking a lot better over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think Dundalk are in a really bad situation at the moment. Defensively, you don't look like you can keep a clean sheet. I mean, you look back, Balls 1-0 up, Waterford 2-0 up, and losing them games, or drawing against Balls, was it 1-0? They're ahead against Shelbourne, lost. They've just not able to keep clean sheets. They look like they're very vulnerable from set pieces. And then outside of Horgan, their attacking threat has sort of died out a little bit. So on 37 points, are they actually safe? You would say very close to being safe, and probably need 1 or 2 more wins. The challenge is it to be overtaken by 4 or 5 teams. So you'd like to think you'd be okay. But feels like they've come out of the blocks flying. They can see the finish line. because Dundalk, let's make no bones about it, had a finished toward bottom at the start of the season. You pulled your hand off the offer to them. But it feels like they can see the finish line to this season, and they're running on fumes at the moment, and you just need to get over that line. As I said, if they finish toward from bottom, grand. The glass is half full in Dundalk from where they've come from. Clough's done a wonderful job, but he has a bit of a challenge between them at the end of the season just to get them over the line and be safe, which I think he will be. We still have to do it, get the results.
Yeah. Waterford. Gareth, I think it's something pretty good for them because they are the second, is it the second best team based on the last, second best team based on the last 10 matches. They've got 18 points from 10 games, just two behind Rovers based on the last two matches. And next up for them, they'll be playing Sligo Rovers at the Showgrounds. That's on Friday night, and then they'll be away to St. Patrick's Athletic. So look, not great having two away matches on the trot, but I think Graham Coughlin will be taking his team into the two matches full of confidence, thinking, I could beat both those teams.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, since he came in, I think only Bows and Rovers are the teams in front of them when picking up points. So they're flying. I mean, they're the informed team, even right up to Shelburne Dundalk. So you'd... if you were coming up against them, you'd be worried. And everybody's talking about Tommy Lonergan, and don't get me wrong, he's firing on all cylinders. He's going really, really well. But the other players around him, McMullen, the goalkeeper, is doing well. Kevin Long is doing real well. John Mahan, excellent. Koto, the left wing back, or sometimes he plays left back, he's getting loads of goals and assists. So it's not just the two boys up front. Mm. They'll get all the plaudits. It's the cohesiveness of the team and the aggression of the team and the belief in the team that he's done. And they look fitter as well, let's be honest. I mean, that's no disrespect to the previous manager. The current manager came in and said that. He said, listen, we are going to be much fitter than we are right now. Not only has he done that, but he's got them fitter while getting results. So you can imagine that they're only going to get better. So that's not good news for the rest of the team down around there.
Yeah, absolutely.
How good does the lad Koto look, lad?
Benny Koto. Yeah. I remember him playing for Cork City.
He looked really good, flying for them.
Yeah,
I hadn't seen much of him.
We did a couple of Cork City matches last season, and he was one of those players. I think I remember... was it against Shelburne? I think he played a really good game. And Johnny Dunleavy was a man who used to be very impressed by Benny Couto. I think he's a really good player. He's definitely the game against Bohemians. In fact, he was sensational that match. They beat Bows 3-1.
And that's just
that's just
his throw-in. So what about the rest?
22 guards.
Come here. We need to get a Wi-Fi sponsor, I think, for next year, lads. We'll get on to the commercial department about that one.
Get a Starlink down to that man quick.
Vinny, Sligo Rovers. Finally,
like
bottom of the table. It's not looking good for them. And the next two matches, it's Waterford at home and then away to Bohemians. We did a go-loud live LOI panel down at All Together Now. And remember, one of the things Brian Kerr was talking about when he was managing was how he loves whenever a club midway through the season or even start the season brought in a manager from outside the league, you know, usually from the UK. And he thought, great stuff. It's going to take them a while to get to know the squad, to get to know about the away trips, how they plan for the away trips, all that kind of stuff. And he said that he always felt that gave him a bit of advantage. And you feel there's a bit of that with the Sligo Rovers manager at the moment.
I don't think, I said at the time, I didn't think it was a good appointment. Not because the manager isn't good, not because the manager won't be a good manager one day. It was just, it may have been the right person, but it was at the wrong time. They needed somebody with an understanding of the league, not wondering. Like, there's no way he came in and even knew squad to the level that was required. He needed a League of Ireland firefighter. And some will say, and I think I used this analogy at the time, some will say, well, sure, look what Graham Coughlin did. Completely different. Operated at levels just below that, scrapped in conference in England, scrapped that League 1, League 2, and had a little bit more time. This lad has come in and he's been operating at a higher level as a Premiership footballer or as a Championship footballer. It's miles apart from what he's dealing with at Sligo. And then throw into that, he doesn't know his own team, never mind the opposition. I think it was it. And then, like, not having the right staff around you, all of them things that really know your league to the level that's required. was a recipe for disaster. And I think they're already doomed now. Again, it's League of Ireland. Anybody can beat anybody, but it feels like they're doomed already. And it's a sad day for Sligo.
Yeah, because we did hear the news at the weekend that it looks like Sligo Rovers will be changing the structures at the club. Now, obviously, they're going to look at increasing external funding, but their members will remain in control at the club. Now, we will have, we're recording this on a Wednesday. Tonight on Off the Ball, Tommy Higgins, who is the chairperson of Sligo Rovers, will be on to speak to the lads about this change in structure at the club, and also what's going on with the showgrounds and so on, and the current state of, or the current plight of the club. It will be dreadful to see Sligo Rovers going down. And I know you spoke about it last week as well, Gareth, losing another Northwestern club. Obviously Finn Harps down in the first division as well. It'd be very, very disappointing. So do tune in for that Tommy Egan's interview. If you're listening to this after Wednesday night, you'll be able to podcast that on your usual podcast channel. Sorry, Gareth, you were going to say something there, were you?
Just while we're talking about the playoff and the relegation, just because people probably think we've forgotten about Drogheda, but Drogheda...
Sorry, I did forget about Drogheda. Kevin Doherty, my apologies, because he's probably going to pull that up now next time we do a Drogheda match.
We don't want to talk to them because we think they're going to be in the European standards, hopefully. But Drogheda, the next three home games out of the four league games, three are at home, and the last of those games are home to Sligo. So there's a real opportunity. Don't get me wrong, Pats at home will be a difficult game, but then you've got the Derby and Dundalk. They're away to Shells, but then you've got that real important game at home to Sligo on the 11th. So I think they'll just have enough. They're not going great at the moment. I think it's going to be a real battle between themselves and Galway. It's going to be an almighty battle to finish in that relegation zone. I think Waterford will have enough, and the Drogheda and Galway battle will be probably one of the most exciting finishes to the season.
Yeah, just to confirm that, because I mentioned all the other clubs, Drogheda United's next two fixtures, that's home to St. Pat's, and as Gareth mentioned, then the Louth Derby at Sullivan and Lamb Park. So two home games there before they go to Shelburne. I just think they're going to be okay. And I think if you even look at the form table, over 10 matches, second from bottom, that's not great. But if you look over the last five matches, they have been good over recent weeks. I see Anselin got a couple of goals in that cup match win at the weekend. I mentioned him after the Shamrock Rovers game. I think this guy has something about him. You were the same, Vinny. You were impressed by him in the match against Shamrock Rovers. If you look over the last five matches, they've got 6 points from five matches, three draws and a win in their last four games. And that just keeps them up in sixth place over the last five matches. I think that's going to be Drogheda United. I think they're just going to do enough to stay above the three or four teams maybe below them. I think they're going to be okay, Vinny.
Yeah, I think Anson is going to turn out to be the difference maker, I feel, at the end of the season. I just think he looked exceptional. It's very early. You've only seen him two, three games. But it's a bit like anything in football. It's why the strikers get paid the big money. They can win you games of football, and I think he might be the difference maker for them. I don't fear for Drogheda. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll finish out of that relegation spot.
But Vinny, who do you think is going to finish in this spot? Because you've got Drogheda, you've Waterford in form, and then you've got Galway 2 points ahead of Drogheda, and Galway have a game in hand as well.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's between, like, again, it can be so different in League of Ireland, but I think I would say it's more likely to be Waterford or Galway at the moment. I know Waterford on a brilliant run, but Waterford can't win forever. And you might find they'll taper off a little bit. So I just think Drogheda would be okay. I really do. I think they'll have enough about them. It's between Galway and Waterford for that second last spot for me.
I think if you're in the trenches at this part of the season, it's really important to have a good defence. And I think you've mentioned it there, Gareth, about Mahon and Long. There's a lot of people down in Waterford talking about Kevin Long and the experience that he's brought to that Waterford team. He's been really, really important for them, even more so than the goal scorers. And Galway United have shown they're still just a bit defensively frail. And I think that's going to go against them over the next few weeks. And I think they'll do enough to win the relegation playoff, but I think it could be them finishing just above Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, I think the same. And that's why it's going to be an amazing finish, because you've got the Waterford momentum, but you've got the Drogheda and Galway nerves are going to have to battle it out tooth and nail. And what two battlers than John Coughlin and Kevin Doherty? That's going to be exciting to watch.
Yeah, certainly will. Okay, I just thought it was important because we do get caught up, I think, too much with the title race and all that, and you kind of forget what's going on at the other end of the table. I wanted to mention quickly, Vinny, because I know this has been, I never like proving Vinny Perth right, you know, and sometimes he is right about things. Look, Douglas James Taylor, he's been struggling for form, I think, this season for Bohemians. And I think it's interesting as well to mention Galway United. Of course, they signed Franz Pierrot, two players who really made a name for themselves under Kevin Doherty. And if you look so far this season with Galway United, Franz Pierrot has played 21 matches and he scored 5 goals. And then if you look at DJT at Bohemians, so far in the league this season, now he had a great run in the European matches. Maybe that says a lot about his playing style. He got 3 goals in 4 matches in Europe. But then in the league this season, we've had 15 appearances for Douglas James Taylor, 4 goals. What do you think's going on there, Vinny? Like, I think a lot of people at the respective clubs got very excited when these signings were made. I got excited for Galway United fans when I saw they'd signed Pierrot. I thought he was going to really have a good season. Is it some sort of Kevin Doherty magic that had these lads firing them in when they were doing so well at Drogheda United?
Yes and no. I mean, the Drogheda United style probably suited both the players in many ways in terms of
counter-attacking football.
Counter-attacking football. And also, there's a bit more pressure when you go to a Dublin club. People don't like that, but there's a little bit more pressure on you. It's a little bit more scrutiny. But I think it's important to clarify. I don't think I was proved right about James Taylor. I think the point I was trying to make was, let's wait and see. He has all the attributes to being a standard forward and still does. But 1 year Drogheda, and even if he scored 20-odd goals, doesn't mean you're going to have a career of Jason Bourne stature or Glenn Crowe stature. I think we're too quick to say, jump on these people and think they're going to be these outstanding signings. I think I've seen so many lads over the years that have had 1 or 2 great seasons, whether it's out in Bray, whether it's up in Drogheda, whether it's even at a Dublin club, and then move on to the next level as such, and it doesn't work out. But both of them have time this year to still have huge impacts for their clubs in terms of where they're at and what's needed. I mean, James Taylor could score the winner in a cup final this year, and I'm certainly not proved right or wrong then if that's the case. So I still reserve judgment on both.
This is unbelievable. It was me. I was the one who said, let's wait and see. This is incredible. Vinny Perth, you know, rewriting history here.
No. So are you saying I said he was rubbish?
No, I never said that. I never said you said he was rubbish, but I did. I was saying, look, we got to give the lad a bit of time. He's got to get fit. He's got to be injury free.
But you were caught up in the emotion of thinking all of a sudden Bolton are going to win the league because you signed this great centre forward.
I never said that either.
I was trying to calm you down. So that's not rewriting history. That's the facts. You thought you were heading to the Champions League.
To be in that.
And Gareth was giving it all. And Gareth was giving it all about Pirro, and all of a sudden, God, we're going to qualify for Europe. You're saying no.
That's this boy.
Fantastic.
He's a dreamer. He's a pair of dreamers. That's what he's are.
Brilliant.
Great stuff. Now listen, and you don't want to be critical of players, but the two players were signed to score goals for their respective clubs, and as Vinny said, they could light it up towards the end of the season, and you do want to see lads doing well. And look, James Taylor I've interviewed him once, but he is a great lad. You do want things to go well for him, but you can feel the impatience of supporters when they want these players to score goals. Just Gareth, I wanted to talk to you about Derry City as well, because it is the live game on Friday night, Daly Mount Park, Bohemians against Derry City. It's always a big, big, massive game. Are you going to be down on commentary duty for this one?
No, the first one I'm going to be missing in years.
We'll miss you. We'll miss you around Daly. Derry City, over the last 11 league trips to Daly Mount Park, have won 7, only lost 2. That is an absolutely incredible record. Can they keep it up on Friday night? And maybe just tell us a bit. I know you've alluded to what Connolly has been doing with Derry City, but anything else that you'd like to point out maybe as the Candy Stripes get ready to visit Dublin again?
Yeah, I've always said it, and I love commentating on this game because it's always goals. There hasn't been a 0-0 in Dalymount between these two teams since 2019. I think it was July 2019. Now, I've just jinxed the whole bloody thing, so there's probably a 0-0. But I doubt it, right? But the 4-3, Vinny was there that night as well. It's just the styles. The styles and the DNA of both clubs. I was lucky enough to play with both clubs. And both clubs are very aggressive. They go forward and they score goals. Yes, they keep the back door open. But there's always goals. There's always talented players, talented front players. And that's why they're so good to watch. And they give each other time. I mean, if you've got two wingers or two wing backs or whatever it is, They have that much confidence that they're happy to give the other player the ball for a wee bit and go, right, let's see what you can do. And you have that all over the pitch when Derry play Bowes. So it'll be a big match. I think it's a bigger match for Bowes, to be honest with you. I think Derry, obviously, Mark Connolly's going to be given a free run for a while now just to try and get things going, trying to get a lot of confidence back in these players. There were signs of it. I know they had a team building day recently, so you can see what he's doing. He's trying to get the mentality of this team back to where it should be, because under Tiernan Lynch, they were always very good defensively and they always turned up in these big games, but you never thought they were going to score enough goals to beat the likes of Pats, Rovers, and Bowes. So it'll be a good game, but it'll be an interesting game. It'll be hopefully plenty of goals.
Yeah, I have to say I agree with Gareth, Vinny, that it is a bigger match for Bohemians than it is for Derry City. I'm a bit concerned here because I've already had my ears clipped by Rennie for not bringing them down to altogether now this year, and threats of being thrown under a bus and that kind of stuff, you know. But I was just reading his pre-match notes from last week. He said, our season can't stop there, referring to that European game in Denmark. We want to progress in the Cup. We want to consolidate in the league and push on further. I know a couple of supporters kind of mentioned the word consolidate there is kind of... I don't want to be overanalyzing his words here, basically, but do you think that maybe is just something he's putting out there in the public domain? Just consolidate our place in the league behind the scenes. Do you think he's telling the players, come on, let's have a go here. Rovers might falter. Who knows? Let's go for first place.
I don't know is the honest answer. I think you can say things and not mean what people read from them. But what they're 10 points behind Shamrock Rovers, Steve-O. Now, I think we might touch on a good bit of Rovers next week, maybe, because I think the next few weeks are really important for them, right? I think Shamrock Rovers are at a crossroads now in terms of they either go on and be another great team that win a league and group stage European football, or they fail on the way to get to a conference, which is a failure for our clubs now. They should be getting conference. And the next few weeks for them is huge. So why is that important when we're talking about Bowes? You have to be ready to capitalise. You have to have the mindset. If Rovers make a dog's dinner of this next few weeks, we're there. And you might be the one to stand on the throat. So they drop points against Shells this week. They go out to Coops. They drop points. And all of a sudden, 10 points is now 2 or 3. And Rovers are scrapping just to hold on to the league title. So that's why it's important. And I've been consistent on this. That's why the likes of Bowes and Pats are right on the shoulder. So I'm not sure what Reynolds meant by them words, but I hope it's not consolidate and maybe finish second or third and be happy with that. I hope they're gone. We're waiting for Shamrock Rovers to fail. And if they do, we're here to capitalise on it. That has to be the mindset in that football club.
You just, because you mentioned Rovers there to finish, and just a reminder, Bohemians Derry, live and off the ball this Friday night. Ben Symes and Vinnie Perth on commentary duties. Look, there's no two ways about it, Gareth. It's been a really poor European campaign, you'd have to say, from Shamrock Rovers, and capped off last week by that 5-1 defeat to Ignatia in Albania. Then going out in the Cup. How big is this European tie now against Coops? It's their last chance to get group phase football. And when you think back to the start of the European campaign, Stephen Bradley was saying Europa League group phase, that was their target. That was the goal. And here they are now scrapping for their lives to get into the Conference League group phase.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Stephen said it. I mean, Ignatia was an awful result, a real disappointment, a real low point when you look what happened has happened over the last 6 or 7 years. But surely he's got enough in the tank to be able to say, listen, and he did. He put his hands up afterwards in the post-match and he just says, we're horrendous, really, really, really bad. Now, I wouldn't look into too much the FA Cup defeat to Pats as well, because it changed the team a lot. I thought they actually did well for the team that they had on the pitch because they had a lot of players that were missing. They're traditional players that got them through a lot of games. To be 2-0 up and to drop that, I don't see it against a good Pats team. I don't see it as a horrendous result. But the European result, the way that the manner of which they went out was really, really poor. Coops, I saw them live against Derry 2 seasons ago. They're not bad, but Rovers have got to fancy their chances. They've got to put it right in European competition. And listen, all will be forgotten if they get into the Conference League group stages. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't the target. Europa League would have been the target at the beginning of the season. Champions League group stages should have been achievable through this campaign this year. It didn't get there, but you cannot completely crash out of Europe and not get your Conference League group stages. So 2 huge games against Coops.
Yeah, Vinny, I'm sure the players will be feeling the nerves out on the pitch when they take on Coops, who, you know, they're underdogs going into this. There's no real pressure on them. I suppose Shamrock Rovers are the team expected to win this tie, but I'd say there's nerves right around the club because financially, it's a really crucial match for Rovers, this, isn't it?
It's a huge match. And you've got to remember, they don't like it. It's the dorky word, but also huge for the players, I'm sure. Bonuses are at our level are huge for players in terms of what it can do for your life. You know, it can be the last part of a deposit on a house. It can be anything. It can be that little nest egg that you need as a young player. So it's huge for them. I don't think there's a lot between these two teams. I think it's a tough draw for Rovers to be in this situation. Champions League football is probably where, slightly disagree with Gareth, it's out of the equation for them in terms of they probably will struggle for that. Europa League is achievable, but it's going to be difficult. That's something that should come once every 2, 3, maybe 4 years for the Irish champions. But what is definitely achievable is Conference League, and they need it. You need it for your finance. You can't have so many players on your books constantly and not finding Conference League. It's a huge shot in the arm financially for the club and everything that comes with it. So I think it's an important few weeks for Stephen Bradley and arguably his biggest test since he's been at the club. I know he had difficult spells at the start, but it's arguably his biggest test. Sometimes the very best teams fall off a cliff and nobody sees it coming. I'm not suggesting that's happening to Rovers at the moment, but you don't want to get this season to get away from them and to fall apart. I don't think he will, but we have to mention it because, you know, it's a difficult couple of weeks coming up for them.
Certainly is. To finish on a positive note on Rovers, we did cover the match against Dundalk a couple of weeks ago and I spoke to Gary O'Neill after the game, and isn't it great to see him fit and well? He was about to take on a match with the under-20s on the Saturday and he looks in great form, and the best luck to him over the next few weeks after recovery from his battles. So listen, hopefully we'll see him back playing in the League of Ireland once again. Super guy, super player, one of the best midfielders we've had in the league over the years. So yeah, that's a good thing for Shamrock Rovers, and listen, we might see him, you never know, talking out before the end of the season. But we will talk more about Shamrock Rovers, as the lad said, next week, and see how they get on against Coops in that first leg. It's going to be a big, big game. Gareth McLean, Vinnie Perth, thank you very much for your contributions. As ever, thank you for listening. Don't forget, Off the Ball on Friday night, Bohemians versus Derry City, 7:45 kickoff. The show from 7 on News Talk and the Go Loud app. And you can listen to LOI Late Nights on the X platform, Twitter. Just look for the Off the Ball page. And that's with Shane Keegan. We will chat to you next week. All the best.
Cheers, Steve.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter, and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.